Now that we've covered all the bad news in the world, let's see how we can survive in the world. Because we're going to have to face these things. We're going to have to see them take place and so forth. So we need to keep our eyes on what we need to be doing all the time. See? And remember this, every time you see how bad it is in the world, just remember, God has called you to correct it when Christ comes back. Now's not the time for us to correct it. God has to work out everything His way, not only in the world, but in our lives. So here, let's come to the book of Philippians. Let's get some things out of here. How then we can keep our bearings in spite of all that's going on around us, in spite of the difficulties that are coming, you see. Otherwise, it's too easy to get caught up in it and say, oh, this is too much, I can't handle it. But you see, if we're forewarned, we are forearmed. And if we are forearmed, then we are going to be doing what we need to do. Now, here's a promise from God. Don't ever think, even in spite of the difficulties you may be going through, even in spite of the trials you may be facing, God is there to help. God is there to intervene. God is there to change circumstances so we can get through, so we can survive, so we can escape. Okay? Now let's pick it up here. Philippians, the first chapter. He says here, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have peace with God. You may see all these things taking place, and you may get anxious. You may get distressed. And we haven't really seen anything, really, of a great and disastrous thing take place. We've seen some. None of us lived through Katrina. None of us lived through Irene. None of us lived through Sandy. Those people have seen it, okay? But we have peace with God. I thank my God in every remembrance of you, always making supplication with joy in my every prayer for you all. Prayer number one is the key. Pray every day. Every day. Study every day. Because that's going to fortify your mind. That is going to fortify your resolve. That is going to give you understanding. If you get discouraged and don't pray and don't study, then these things will mount up on you and multiply. So he's praying for the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now notice this promise. Here is a promise from God. Don't think that things are so bad that you can't make it. Don't think that things are so bad that God is going to give up on you. And always remember this, every sin except the sin against the Holy Spirit by rejecting God the Father is forgivable. Did God forgive David what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, her husband? Yes. Was that a heinous thing to do? Yes. So remember that. Don't get yourself in a situation where you think, oh, well, God can't forgive me. Yes, he can. If you're worried about it, then you go repent. That's why prayer every day, study every day. And prayer is not just for the gimmies. Prayer is to praise God and glorify him for his greatness, for his creation, for his spirit, for his plan, for his calling, and all of these things. Because that way then you are in harmony with God and his spirit because he made us to receive his spirit, see? Now here's a promise from God. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. And that's why we need confidence in times of trouble. that he who began a good work in you, now God is working in you, the inner working of his Holy Spirit, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not going to back down from that. Now turn back here to Philippians, the second chapter, for just a minute, and let's see something here also. Through all of this, God is working with us. Now, sometimes we may not think so because we have things to overcome. We have problems and trials we're confronted with. But God will see us through every trial and distress. Okay? Now, verse 10, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Now, notice, he will complete the work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. If I said something else, I misled you. I think I did because I saw you turn pages. Okay. Notice, is God with you and for you? Yes. Does he understand you? Yes. Does he realize all of these things are going to be difficult to handle? Yes. But he's doing something within us. For we are his workmanship. God is working with us, changing us, molding our minds, giving us character, granting us his love, granting us his hope, granting us his faith. See? Created in Christ Jesus unto the good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. Now stop and think about this. Even though Jesus said, when the Son of Man come, will he find the true faith in the earth? Yes, we're rare, aren't we? Yes, we are. I don't think we're going to, you know, look at hundreds and thousands of people. But we're scattered. But God loves you, has called you, has given you his Spirit. So when we read all of these disaster things, like we read at the beginning of the sermon, we have to turn the coin to the other side. And how are we going to go through these things, see? All right? That's why we keep the Sabbath. That's why we keep the commandments of God, because he's working in us with his Spirit. All right? And I'll come back here to the let's go to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Because Paul went through some very difficult times and went through them so that we could have hope. Now notice what he says here in 2 Corinthians, and you read 1 Corinthians, you know, and I remember that there was a minister one time who said, well, I don't know why we have 1 and 2 Corinthians in the Bible. We don't have any of these problems in our church. Well, wasn't too long after that they started to sprout out. Okay? Now here again, this is why it's important to understand. Verse 2, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is directly from the throne of God to you, each one of us individually. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, in order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trial through the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So God will comfort you. God will give you peace of mind. God will help you through these difficult and trying times. Okay, now come back here to Philippians, the second chapter, and let's see what all of this is to lead to, because this is important for us to understand, and this is what we need to keep our eyes on. We don't need to worry about the things going on in the world. And I talked to a woman the other day. She called the office, and I talked to her, and she says, you know, I read Psalm 91 every day. And she says, that helps me keep my feet on the ground and trusting in God in spite of all that's going on. See, we've never lived through a time where the country around us is going to come apart, but we're approaching that time. And if we are strengthened with God's Spirit, then we can get through those difficult times. But here is what we must be doing. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Now then, if there be any encouragement in Christ, and that's what we need, we need to face the things that are coming and the reality that they are going to come, but we need to understand that God is going to correct the whole thing when Christ returns and we're part of that. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any deep inner affections and compassions, because we can let these things affect us so much that we can get discouraged and start coming after each other. And God doesn't want that. Okay? So he says, fulfill my joy that you be of the same mind. Now we're going to see what mind this is. How are we to think? And think about what Jesus went through. And he did that for us. He willingly laid down his life. He willingly went through everything that he did so that we could be his. Fulfill my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being knit together in soul. You've heard of soul brothers? That's what that means. Minding the one thing. And what is that one thing? The kingdom of God. That's the one thing. And let nothing be done through contention or vainglory, but in humility, each esteeming the others above themselves. Let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others, to help them, to encourage them, to uplift them. See? But that can't be done just in a, how should we say, a false or maudlin way. It has to be done through strength, which comes from God and the love of God. Now, here's the goal. Let this mind be in you. That's what we're developing, see. Now, that's why we have trials and difficulties that come, so that we can face them the way God wants us to. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on showing what Christ did. And this is a hard thing for some people to accept, that God would do this. What a fantastic thing that it is. Stop and think. What is the most precious thing that you have? Are you willing to give it all up the way that Christ did? Now remember, he was God before he came into flesh. So here's what he did. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Think what he had to do to become that pinpoint of life, to be begotten in the Virgin Mary. But emptied himself. Now, I don't know exactly how he did that, but he did. And was made in the likeness of men and took the form of a servant. In the Greek there is doulos, which means slave. They had a lot of slaves back then. They didn't have appliances. They had human slaves. And being found in the manner of man. Remember the one case where they were in the little ship crossing the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up and they were saying the waves were coming in and the disciples were all anxious and worried and Jesus was at the stern sleeping on a pillow. And they came to him and said, Master! Don't you care anything about us? We're dying. So he stood up and rebuked the wind and the storm, and poof! There was a great calm. Well, God can do the same thing with your trials and difficulties, see? He can do it. Found in a manner of man, he humbled himself. Now, question. We need to ask ourselves every once in a while, how much have you humbled yourself? Or put it in the first person. How much have I humbled myself? And you do that in prayer before God. And you do that in serving and helping each other, see? And became obedient unto death. He faced the worst that could possibly be, even the death of the cross. Now hold your place here and come to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's see how he faced that. Yes, he did pray just before he was arrested. If it be your will, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Okay? Hebrews 12. Now, this is after the chapter concerning faith. So Paul writes in verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That means every problem, every difficulty, every anxiety, and the sin that so easily entraps us. Don't get yourself caught into reacting to things and sinning. And let us run the race set before us with endurance, having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith. That's what to have our minds on. Not on the side issues. Not on the difficulties. You first have your mind fixed on Christ. Then you can handle the side issues. Then you can handle the difficulties. And God will bless you in it. Now notice, who for the joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross, although he despised the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now notice why he wrote this. It says verse 3, now meditate deeply on him who endured such great hostility of sinners against himself, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. So that's quite a lesson for us, isn't it? And Jesus said that he laid his life down. No one took it from him. And to receive commandment from the Father to take it back. Then Paul, in verse 4, reminds us. You have a hard time overcoming sin? You've had difficulties and problems? Well, Paul reminded them this. You have not yet resisted to the point of losing blood in your struggle against sin. Okay? Now come back here to Philippians, the 2nd chapter. So we have those things as anchors. And Christ said we're to build on the rock, and he's the rock. And he said the rain would come, the floods would come, the wind would beat on it, but it wouldn't fall because it's founded on a rock. And if we do what Jesus did, then we'll be founded on the rock. Now, verse 9, Philippians 2. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him. And the day of our exaltation is going to happen at the resurrection. And bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Now what's going to happen when we're resurrected? We're going to be given a new name. Wonder what that is going to be. Well, let's attain to it. We'll find out. Okay? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, verse 12 becomes very important. Okay? Now, let's look at what Paul said. All of this leading up to this. All right? So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but with love and strength as God gives it to you. We'll see it here in just a minute. For it is God who works in you. Remember we talked about the inner working of God? See, God is doing a work in his people. It's not evident to the world. And sometimes the things that we go through, it's not evident to us right away. But then we see God's hand in it later. Who works in you both to will, that is to have the desire, and to do, that is to follow through and obey, according to his good pleasure. Then he says, do all things without complaints and disputes. Now, here's what we are to be. Now, that's going to be a thing that we can recognize in each other, and hopefully the world can recognize in us as we go down in time. Do all things without complaints and disputes, so that you may be blameless without offense, innocent children of God in the midst of a crooked, perverted generation. And it's crooked, and it's perverted, and it's going to get worse. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do we do that? Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. All right, come to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Let's see what Paul said concerning himself and his past life. And then we're going to see another aspect of growing and overcoming and letting God work within us. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Indeed, for me to write the same things to you is not troublesome, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now, that's not the barking, growling kind. Those are the ones who are against God and Christ. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. So we have to watch our spiritual lives as well. For we are the circumcision, that is the true spiritual circumcision of the heart, who serve God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and do not trust in the flesh. See, because with that focus, that's what we're doing. Now then he gives a comparison here. Though I might have reason to trust in the flesh, if any of the things he has cause to trust in the flesh, I have much more. Now, this is quite something, because this really shows the true humility of God within Paul. Because the Jews are notorious for being arrogant against all other people. So this is truly a miracle of conversion. Circumcised the eighth day, of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, with respect to the law, of Pharisee. Now, you can't get any greater than that. With respect to zeal, persecuting the church. Now, here's a good example for us. Whenever we have a real difficult problem, we get over the sorrow of it, we get over the emotion of it, but we learn the lesson from it. Because you can't go back and undo it. How many Christians he put to the sword? We don't know. How many he had thrown in jail? We don't know. But he says, that was really something with Judaism with me. Okay. Verse 7. Yet those things that were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And that's why baptism. Okay. And we're joined to Christ. Verse 8. But then truly, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's the kind of mind and understanding we need to come to. And God will help you do it. It's not something you do quickly. It's not something that comes easily. For he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung, that I may win Christ. So the whole thing is focus on eternal life. Focus on Christ. Focus on the kingdom. Focus on God the Father. Verse 9. And may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is derived from law, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God that is based on faith, so that you have all the characteristics of the Spirit, faith, hope, and love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, self-control, etc. See. Verse 10, that I may know him. You're going to see Christ face to face. You're going to see God the Father face to face. That something? Okay? You look forward to that, and you can put all the troubles, all the sorrows, all the disappointments, all the trials and tribulations we go through, put all those to the side. And the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. And he says, if by any means, that's why God has called us, I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Whatever God wants to attain to the resurrection of the dead, then we have made up our minds, though we don't know what is ahead, that God will see us through it. With strength, with joy, with understanding, but he gives a little caution here. Not as though I have already received or have already been perfected, but I'm striving, and that's what we need to be doing. Striving. That's what overcoming is. So that I may lay hold on that for which I also was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Now notice the next few verses are very important to really grasp and understand so we can use this knowledge and information and not be overwhelmed with the things that are going to take place, especially because we have had things smooth sailing, haven't we? You know, you think about it. Have you lacked anything? You know, no. You open up your refrigerator and it's stuffed, jammed from top to bottom. You look at it and say, oh, there's nothing to eat. Okay? You have clothes, you have shoes, you have everything that you need. You have a roof over your head. You have God's protection. You have his angels about you. You've got God's spirit. You've got God's promises. You have all of these things from God. So this is why it's good for us to look at what is going to come, but let's look at how we need to handle it. See? It's not as though I had already received or have already been perfected, but I'm striving so that I may also lay hold on that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count myself as having attained. But what did Jesus say? He said, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient is the evil of the day. But seek first the kingdom of God. Same thing applies right here, see. But one thing I do. Here's what needs to be. Now, sometimes this is hard. Many things are ingrained in our minds. And we can see them and picture them in our minds. That's why we need the washing of the water of the Word. He says here, forgetting the things that are behind. And he had a lot to forget. A lot of things he had to put out of his mind. And reaching forth to the things that are ahead. You always look ahead. I press, meaning he worked at it, toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press toward that goal. Now here's another promise. You might say, well, what if I'm weak and I fall short? What is God going to do? What if I'm old and weak? God knows that. He promises back there in Psalm, I think it is 78, even though you're old and gray and weak, he's not going to abandon you. He knows that. He understands that. Yes. But here is what we're aiming for. Here is the whole purpose of the book of Philippians. Verse 15. So then, let as many as be perfect be of this mind. Now, you can't be perfect in the flesh, but you can be perfect in the mind and attitude with God's Spirit. And that's what he's talking about. Be of this mind. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, whatever problem, whatever difficulty, whatever sin comes along, and this is important to understand, God will reveal even this to you. So it's God's Spirit in you purging these things out. See? God doesn't want you to keep those things. God wants you to grow in grace and knowledge, grow in truth and kindness and goodness and love, while at the same time living in a world that is upside down and in rebellion and revolt. Nevertheless, in regard to that which we have attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. That's the mind that God wants us to have, see? So he says, brethren, be imitators together of me. And we can go through the epistles of Paul and see how he was, see how he behaved. Then we imitate that. And bear in mind those who walk in this way as you have for an example. Then he talks about those who have left. Okay? Verse 20. But for us, the commonwealth of God. Now that's interesting. Commonwealth. What does commonwealth mean? It means sharing the wealth. See, that's talking about the wealth of God, character of God, and also the substance of what God is going to give us. And it's going to be so great that gold is going to be pavement for the streets of New Jerusalem. Think of that. Today, blacktop is the motif, blacktop and cement. Okay, this will be gold. Wonder what that's going to be like to walk on gold. All right. Commonwealth of God exists in the heavens, because he's going to bring it, from where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is what he is going to do. That's why we're not to be weighted down with any problems or difficulties or anxieties, because all of that is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, verse 21, who will transform our vile bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body according to the inner working of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Now that's the end result of all of it. And you know, according to God's plan, even with all the strife and turmoil that's going on, all the death and destruction that is taking place, God is still a God of love, so much so that all of those people who have lived and died, who have been blinded, who have followed Satan the devil, but have not committed the unpardonable sin, he's going to resurrect to a second life. And a second life is going to be in the flesh. And that's necessary for the first opportunity for salvation. Just think what it would be if it's like the way most people say, well, if you're not going to be saved when Jesus returns, you're going to go burn in hell forever. See, God is going to show his love to them at that time and give them an opportunity for salvation. And we are the ones who are going to. So keep all that in mind. Let the world be. Let the world go the way it's going to go. You can't solve spiritual problems by physical means. And let's keep our eye on doing the things we need to do. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.